to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 21 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we have the distinct pleasure of having on Sam Maricini from the Sam's Disney Diary on YouTube. Now, Sam's been a listener of the show and has just returned from Walt Disney World. And we really like to talk to people who just got back from Walt Disney World and get the latest news from the parks. Hi, Sam. How's it going?
It's going great, Ed. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it's great. Thanks for being on. Now, along with Sam and myself tonight, we have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy. How's it going down in New Orleans?
Fantastic. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, cool. Now, as I mentioned a couple minutes ago, Sam just got back from Walt Disney World. And as you've been watching, there's been a lot of great news coming out of the parks concerning Magic Bands, new Fantasyland updates, and I'm sure a lot of different things. So before we really get into that, let's go over with Sam some of the details of his trip. First off, Sam, how long were you down there for?
So we were there 8 days, 7 nights, a nice long week right before President's Day. Knowing the crowds would be picking up on President's Day, we were headed out as the crowds were gaining.
Sam, what do you think the average wait times there were? Just when obviously on, you know, the big attractions like Soarin' and Space Mountain, those are going to be long anytime.
They're always long.
They're always going to be long no matter which time of year. But just on your average attraction, were they walk on or were they long waits or just kind of?
So your popular attractions weren't walk ons during peak hours. If you were there early or if you stayed and closed the park or maybe there were extra magic hours rolling, then absolutely there were some rides that were walk on. But for the most part, my over-under is usually about 20 minutes. If a ride is 20 minutes or less, I'm going to wait in line. If it's over 20 minutes, I'll come back later. Most of the rides were right around that 20-minute mark until Thursday rolled around. I think Thursday is when the President's Weekend traffic started to arrive and the waits got significantly longer and the parks just felt more crowded as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with the 20 minutes. That's usually our time limit as far as waiting for a ride or not. And I tell you what, being down there 7 days or 8 days helps out a lot being able to walk away from a ride and then come back either later that day or even another night.
I can tell you, along with the weather, it got cool a couple of nights. So we needed our hoodies. We needed to have our jeans on, not shorts. It got to the upper 40s, which is very cold in Orlando. It doesn't feel so cold back north here. But for the first time ever, I can say I heard on the Dumbos, if you'd like to ride the Dumbos again, please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. So we'll be able to ride multiple times in a row, and I don't think that's ever happened again. Happened before.
Oh, very cool.
I've never had that happen to me. Not on Dumbo.
Right.
That was late.
What part of the country are you from, Sam?
Western Pennsylvania.
Okay, so you guys are dealing with the cold, so you at least had some cold clothes to go down with.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Went down with what we thought we needed, right? The hoodies. And I get the question a lot from friends and family that go down January, February, what should I take? It can get cold in Orlando in January and February. When it's 9 degrees or -5 back here in the Northeast, it gets down into the 40s in Orlando, and you really do need that hoodie, that sweatshirt, and possibly jeans instead of shorts. So you may need a couple of other things, but it's good to have when the weather does dip.
In 2012, we were there toward the end of April and got a cool front that we had to go buy light jackets.
Yep.
So you can definitely even get a cool front down there that late, toward April. It probably doesn't happen a lot, the chances are. So anytime you're going down, you know, fall, winter, or spring, you're almost better off kind of planning for everything down there because you really don't know what you're going to get.
Right. Now, did you fly down? I figured you must have since it's a winter trip.
Absolutely flew down. Flew into MCO. We rented a car. We did not do Magical Express, but I can say that We were there in February. We're also down in November, and I used Magical Express then with the Magic Bands, and again in February, and it's quite a difference in just those few months in between.
Quite a difference in what way?
In the evolution of my Magic Bands is what I'd say. So officially, Disney's still in test mode. So this isn't yet rolled out. This isn't yet in production. Everything's a test. And a lot more things have been enabled in just those couple of months. I mean, if you think about it and step back a second, Disney has sort of trained us over the last 10 to 15 years on how to tour the parks and what you would do to when you get there, you're going to go get this fast pass or you're going to do this or do that. And they're really changing everything on us. And it's sort of interesting to see it evolve in just those few weeks. So a couple of things that have happened, right? The legacy fast passes are gone. So putting your room key or your park ticket into a machine and getting a fast pass back, those don't exist anymore. They're being replaced and replaced pretty rapidly.
So are the machines actually gone, or are they just covering them up, or how they...
In some locations, they're gone. So I can say that the fast pass machines for Buzz Lightyear were behind walls when we got there for our trip. And before we left, the walls were down and they were replaced with fast pass plus kiosk machines.
Oh, interesting.
Over in Animal Kingdom, the fast passes for It's Tough to Be a Bug, which haven't been used in a long time, those are actually gone. And it's now a permanent meet and greet for the characters from Up. So they're doing some interesting things with the fast passes and what was there.
Oh, very cool.
Well, let me ask you this, Sam. You were down there with family. Did anyone in your particular group have a chance to use the child swap?
Rider switch, absolutely.
Okay, and how did they handle that with no paper tickets?
So interesting across the board. And that was handled just like it would have been in the legacy situation. Where if you have a child that either doesn't want to ride or is too short to ride or the attraction isn't appropriate, you ask the cast member for a rider switch pass. If you're going into the standby line, they give you a rider switch pass, and that allows you to then return to the fast pass line. Likewise, if you have a valid fast pass plus, you can go to the fast pass line and indicate that you need a rider switch, and they'll give you that switch pass. So worked pretty much exactly the same. The one big difference is the rider switch ticket that they gave us historically would be good for the same day that they handed it to you. But for this trip, it was good until the end of the month.
Wow.
Which seemed very interesting. Now, I took advantage of that, kept a couple of them, and we used them as our trip got towards the end. I don't see Disney keeping that, though. I think that sort of creates a black market.
I was about to say, you think you'd have people swap?
I would definitely think so. So let me step back just a second. So if you've gone to Disney in the last 15 years, when you check into your room at a Disney resort, you get your key to the World card. Okay? And we all got used to the key to the World card. If you had tickets in with your package, that would get you into the turnstiles at the parks. That's what opened up your door to your room, and you could also use it at point of sale locations to buy merchandise or to charge your restaurant dining back to your room.
Right.
Pretty straightforward. Then that card's also what you used inside of the fast pass machines to get your ticket. Now, if you think about the investment that Disney has had to make with fast pass plus, they've had to change every door in every resort. They've had to change the turnstile entrances in every theme park. They've had to change every point of sale location. So there's now a reader that will read this RFID or frequency from the card. They've changed every attraction to now have the ability to read this RFID card. It's quite a vast investment. And it even goes beyond that. The security guards, as you drive up to your hotel, have the readers and can read your card. Where you would put your card to open the gate to drive in, those are now readers for the card. When you show up at the airport, Magical Express has a reader for the card.
Reader for the investments. So it's amazing. So it's readers for the bracelets,
or
readers for the bracelets, and I'll step back another second.
Okay.
You will get in the mail ahead of time your box with your magic bands in it. That magic band you wear on your wrist, right? If you're staying in a Disney resort, you have a magic band available to you, regardless of the Disney resort. If you are an annual pass holder, or if you are a day guest, you have your card, which looks like one of those old Key to the World cards, but it doesn't have the magnetic strip on it. Now, it also has an RFID reader, or an RFID indicator.
Right.
That allows you to get in and get your fast passes.
Yeah, we figure everything's going to have that chip now.
So, Sam, you were saying earlier about Buzz Lightyear, they had replaced the fast pass machines with fast pass plus kiosks.
Yes.
So somebody that's really not familiar with that, that is where you can go and make fast pass selections and stuff like that if, say, you didn't have the app on your phone.
Correct. So if you have a Disney reservation with one of their resorts, you can now use the My Disney Experience app, which is available for Android and the Apple operating system, or you can use the website mydisneyexperience.com. And by doing so, you can now schedule ahead of time up to 3 FastPass attractions in a single park.
This is what I call the Chinese menu method by picking those rides. From what I understand, you pick them from different categories or different lists.
So depending on the park, that's true. Magic Kingdom, everything is considered one.
Okay.
So you pick 3 of anything at Magic Kingdom. Over at Epcot, for example, they do have multiple groups of attractions. So you can only pick Soarin' or Test Track or Maelstrom, believe it or not. They put those 3 in the same category.
Maelstrom, wow.
Wow.
Yes.
I would have never thought that.
I would have never guessed it either. Then the other 2 can be basically any other attraction in Epcot.
Are they thinking about the meet and greet for Frozen?
I wish that they would.
I saw something on I saw somebody post on Facebook a couple days ago that the wait for the Frozen characters in Norway was 4 hours.
Norway is a mess. Let's just come out and say it. They have created a monster, and the popularity of Frozen they obviously didn't anticipate.
Not at all.
In fact, if you go back to the original press release for Anna and Elsa being in Norway, it was only going to be it for November to promote the movie. They're still there in February. That's how popular they've been.
Oh, sure.
Right. That's incredible.
So if you're a Disney park guest, you can schedule your attractions. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Disney has trained us to show up at studios at rope drop, run to Toy Story Mania, get a fast pass, ride it, and then come back and use your fast pass.
Right? Amen, brother. Amen.
That's what they've trained us to do, no matter what. And they've done that for 10 years, and everybody who's read any book knows exactly that's what you do. If I'm going into Epcot, pick one. Are we going to Test Track? Are we going to Soarin'? Let's go. Sprint. What they've done now is completely changed that game. I was able to, the day we flew down, right? We had an 11 o'clock flight. We got in at about 2:30, rent a car, get over to the hotel. I had a 7 o'clock Fast Pass Plus waiting for Toy Story Mania. I could have never done that and ridden the day I landed without that ability.
Very true.
So if you use it for the right thing, this makes a lot of sense. So if you're planning a trip to Disney, use those 3 Fast Pass Pluses for the peak attractions during the peak time frames. Because if you get there early, lines are going to be short. You're able now to stay a little during the day, get those rides knocked out, and in the evening, it's not so busy again.
So let me ask you this, and which I found kind of interesting is before, because like say you go to studios at Rope Drop and you had this mad rush to Toy Story Mania, which don't get me wrong, I love, but I always saw that as a way to, instead of heading that way, I always did the opposite and head toward Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster because those were relatively, everybody rushed to Toy Story Mania, so those were left open. So you could go ride each one of them a couple times. Yep. But being now that not everyone is running to Toy Story Mania, has that traffic kind of split up and kind of dispersed the crowds a little more?
You can tell that it's still early. So anyone anyone that's listening to this podcast is pretty savvy in Disney, right? And they know what they're doing and where they're going. Sure. Where this entire system falls down, in my opinion, at least temporarily, is that person that has a day pass or is not staying on Disney property that comes into Walt Disney World with their ticket. I have a card in my hand that has an RFID chip. What do I do? Nothing's pre-registered. I've not scheduled anything. Now you're stuck heading to one of the FastPass Plus kiosks where a cast member will help you make your selections. So what they've done, for example, over in Epcot, as you come into Epcot and you make the right or the left, you go cut right through Interventions and head over to Soarin' or Test Track. There's a bank of FastPass Plus kiosks right there. And the cast members are stopping everyone and saying, if you want fast passes, you're not going to find them inside the land building. You need to do it here. And they'll hand you a pamphlet. And the pamphlet basically says, and I'll scan a couple of these and get them to you guys so you can put them up with the show. Disney FastPass Plus test at Epcot. You know, reserve access to the most fun attractions to do. And on the back of it, what they're having guests do is select the five attractions that they would most want to have a FastPass Plus reservation for. Then the cast member takes all of the tickets, links them together, and shows them the three that they have and the time slots that they can go.
What's interesting, earlier, Sam, you were talking about how much money Disney was going to have to spend, you know, adding all those readers, changing the hotel doors, all that stuff. What about just the manpower to have all these cast members there by these kiosks to explain to people? I mean, how long is that going to last for? People that don't go but every 3 to 5 years, it's going to be a long time for everybody.
It's going to take a long time for those new or the new experience to understand what's happening.
Sure.
I happened to be on another trip in January in the Magic Kingdom the day that they disabled the legacy FastPass machines, as they're being called. They basically just covered them all over. They were covered up. And as of today, we're doing our test.
Wow.
No more FastPasses. So I went around, as I would with my camera, and took pictures of every one of them with the covers over top of them. And I just stood around some of them and was watching as people would come up the Space Mountain and say, how do I get my FastPass? And the cast members were there, and they had their own kiosk in their hand, right? What's a kiosk? A kiosk is an iPad. That's really all it is.
Right.
And they would then help that guest get their passes. Fillmore Magic, where they had the FastPass machines for a few things, there are switchbacks, you know, ropes back and forth of where guests are queuing to get to that kiosk to be able to do their FastPass Plus selections or change them.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to be fun at all. Those apps have to work.
It's not. You have the app on your phone, and you hope that internet access in the park is adequate. I had some issues with that, but again, this is still a test.
Right?
So, and I love the fact that they're hiding behind this test, but it still is. And it's going to be a test till probably April timeframe. In fact, Disney has a press conference in early April where my expectation is this whole FastPass Plus rollout, along with the Mine Train, along with the new parade, and all of the things happening at Magic Kingdom. But I think there's a lot left to go that we're not even aware of yet.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And you know what's going to happen? And I can only imagine this happening in the near future. They're going to be able to regulate how much labor they have in each park. They're going to be able to throw buses at a park that has more people in it.
Sure.
Just by being able to track these little chips and those bracelets. Real quick question, as far as just what you're saying is sinking in, and I've been hearing this for the last couple of weeks from other people, as far as everybody's strategy with fast passes and what you do as soon as you get to the park. However, if you are staying at one of the Disney hotels and you have your bracelet, can you decide what you're going to do tomorrow, the day before?
You can decide 180 days out what you're going to do and when.
Okay,
you're
so if I did that at Epcot and 180 days out, I said, you know what, I'm going to ride Soarin' and I'll pick two others. And then I still go to Rope Drop. I'm still going to get to Soarin' and get on it with a short line, though, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Because I'm still going to be over in the fast, brisk walk behind the cast members, and then I won't be stopping at the kiosks. So
you'll go right past everybody that jumps into that kiosk.
I've got a trip planned in April for Easter, and I wasn't able to make my Fastpass selections until today, until 60 days out.
60, okay.
So
if I'm wrong, I apologize.
That's okay, that may be something they've recently changed.
I got to think.
I thought it was the same signing. I'm not sure.
That makes sense if you're saying April, though, that would be part of the test phase, just because you couldn't have 180 days out if you're going to be changing them up or doing something that would kind of ruin the database or whatever. So 60 days for a test does kind of make sense.
But here's the types of things you can do now is you can say, okay, I'm going to ride Little Mermaid at noon. I'm going to have lunch at Cinderella's Royal Table at 1 and then Peter Pan's Flight at 3. Those are things you just couldn't do before. And if you start to plan that way in advance, you can really gain the most of the system.
Sure.
However, I think what you're going to find, or I'm thinking kind of what a negative might be, is that if you happen to miss your time, you don't have that luxury of then getting another fast pass, or do you?
Because I don't believe that you can.
Because I'm thinking about this as like the Disney, the dining plan was. At one point, we used the dining plan almost every time we went to the parks, but it eventually got to the point where we were making our reservations so far out that it was a real pain sometimes to make that reservation when we got 3 months later or 4 months closer to the park. So we would miss that reservation, and because we didn't make a reservation further out, we might not be able to use a dining reservation or a sit down. So are we going to lose fast passes if we don't use them then?
Well, you can adjust it anytime before it comes up, right?
You can adjust it up as long as you have access to a kiosk or the app on your phone or even any phone with a web browser to go to mydisneyexperience.com. But I did do that in a couple of cases. We changed our mind.
Based on availability, though. Like they have to have fast passes available.
Right. On whatever attraction you go into, right.
Interesting, based on availability, when I was there in November, when there were still legacy FastPass, availability was an issue. When I was there in February just last week, availability didn't seem to be an issue. I was able to change to pretty much anything I wanted to as long as it was in the category, right?
Do you think that's because since they removed the legacy FastPasses, they blocked off a lot more spots for the FastPass Plus, you know?
I think it has to have something to do with that.
Yeah.
Sure, and how many people aren't using FastPasses because they don't know how?
Or you're right, they don't understand.
It could be it too.
But I do agree with you, Ed. You know, making dining reservations, the same thing, 180 days out, when park hours and extra magic hours aren't released yet, it's kind of a hassle.
Sure, like I decided to do something in Magic Kingdom on my third night. Well, in the 180 days, we got closer. They changed the hours to their park. So now, you know what? Magic Kingdom probably wasn't the best bet for my third day. So right. Now I'm hoping to change up my fast passes. You're right. It's a whole new way of planning your trip. You just have to keep alert to what you're doing.
It definitely takes spontaneity out of it.
But you're right as far as knowing that you have the fast passes. It's going to make it a nicer visit. Now, you're right. It's not a stressful run to Soarin', say, to get the fast pass and then maybe get on it once.
Or, you know, maybe not. Maybe you, Peter Pan, I mean, God, that thing's always packed. So
it is.
Not even knowing, on a lot of trips we'd go, and you know what? We wouldn't even ride Peter Pan. So with this says, well, at least if I really want to ride Peter Pan, I can put it in there, and I'll have an opportunity to go ride it.
Without restrictions at Magic Kingdom, the three most popular for my family were Peter Pan, Space Mountain, and Big Thunder. That seemed to be where we went. Now, I will add this back to your Rider Switch comment before. The old child swap. My youngest isn't tall enough for Space Mountain. So what we did is I put myself and him on Buzz Lightyear the same time that the rest of my family was riding Space Mountain. I went with them to Space Mountain, got the rider switch, turned around and took my youngest over to Buzz Lightyear, and then afterwards I rode with my other children.
That's
smart. So you can do things like that too.
Makes sense. And you're not just sitting outside Space Mountain waiting for the family to finish.
Exactly. So
that makes a lot of sense.
And I'm not going to use a fast pass for him on that. So there is that bit of flexibility.
Or yourself, right.
Right. Now, another little thing that I picked up on, and I'm not sure if this is official or if it was the cast member, but when you do a character meet and greet, so you can use it to see Mickey. Very popular is Princess Fairytale Hall. Rapunzel still has lines at 45 minutes or longer. It's amazing to me. But you can have just one member of your party with a valid fast pass for the meet and greet. They allow just one person to scan.
Oh, that makes sense, though, because
not everybody needed it.
That makes sense, though, because if I'm going to see Mickey, what's the difference if it's six of us seeing Mickey and taking a picture at one time or one of us?
Yeah, and I also went with, you know, I'm the camera guy when it comes to my daughter seeing a princess, right? That's really all I'm doing is taking pictures.
Sure. And it's the three-year-old who wants to see the princess as opposed to she can't ride Space Mountain anyway, so you're not wasting her fast pass on anything else. You're not wasting your fast pass for her. Cool. That's a really good feature. I like that one.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Let me ask you this. Is there any way to know if the fast passes are gone for the day then? Or are they gone?
They do run out. Even during my planning, and Jimmy will probably run into this as well, the most popular ones, like Soarin' and Peter Pan, there were limited windows when they're available. It's also interesting because with your three, they're all good for 1 hour. So if you have a FastPass Plus from 5 to 6 p.m., your next one has to start after 6 or finish before 5.
Gotcha.
So it gets you can't have any overlap in them, and it gets a little tricky to make it work. So you have to play with, once you get an attraction, then change the time around. So it doesn't run out, but the time slot you want might not be available.
Another question. I've seen a couple posts on Facebook about this, that there's a way you can schedule a fast pass for Be Our Guest for lunch.
So there is. They were testing it. I was not able to do it. But I'm glad you brought up Be Our Guest, because I did that twice.
Oh, wow. Nice.
And the Fast Pass is for the counter service lunch.
Right.
So from 10:30 until 2 every day, there's counter service. The line is huge.
Ridiculous.
I mean, the line comes across the bridge, starts to go around, and almost gets to the entrance of Enchanted Tales with Belle. It moves very quickly. They have it down as a system. So once you get into the restaurant to place your order, they'll ask you, are you paying with cash, with credit, or with a magic band? Is basically the questions they'll ask you. If you're paying with a magic band, you tap your band right at the host stand when you get in. If you're paying with anything else, they'll pick up one of the magic roses, which is essentially a way for them to hand you an RFID tag. They scan it. They hand it to you. You go to the next kiosk. That kiosk is where you order your food. So you're doing this all by yourself. You're checking. I want one of these. There's pictures. I'll take the ham sandwich, the turkey sandwich, and some of the gray stuff. It's delicious, all that good stuff. When you're done with that, the next cast member will ask how many are in your party. They'll ask to see your receipt. They'll ask for your rose. They sit you down. When they sit you, you go and get your drinks and your silver, your utensils, and wait for them to wheel out your food right to the table. Now they know where you're sitting based on your magic band or that rose.
So when you're going through the line and they're going to ask you cash, credit, or magic band, it doesn't matter whether you're using the magic band for the dining plan or charging it to your room. They just want to know that you have a magic band.
Yes. And that actually will be – I got a lot of video of that experience that I'll be turning into some information for the podcast at some point.
Oh, that'll be great. I can't wait to see that.
So my point is, don't let that long line fool you. It moves very, very quickly.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because exactly. If I hadn't heard that and I saw a line that long, I'd totally –
probably wouldn't have waited.
It moves.
Right. Not at
it
all.
It does. They're pulling people through there. And I think the food was better than dinner.
And you said that you could use a fast pass for lunch to get past that line?
So what the fast pass did is skipped you past the queue that came across the bridge and wrapped around, and it put you right in the front so that you're at the spot where you start to order.
Since you said the line moves so fast, would you have considered that a waste of a fast pass?
I would have, yes, because I'd much rather use it for Space Mountain when there's a 180-minute wait.
Sure. That was my next question. It counts as one of your three for the day. Was it the same as the character meet and greet, where only one person in your party has to have the FastPass reservation, or does everybody?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know the answer because I didn't do it.
Right. I would, just as a guess, I would have to say probably only one person needs it. It kind of falls into the same category as the meet and greet. You're really, everybody's taking a picture on the one band. But yeah, sure, some will find out.
Yeah, you're taking up a table either way.
Yeah, be our guest is definitely worth it. If you can't get that elusive dinner reservation, do the counter service.
I just got one, Sam.
Nice.
I was telling Ed, I was sitting on the couch just messing with the My Disney Experience app. I said, this was on Sunday. I said, let me just search to see if maybe there's a reservation. And I searched each night and picked one up. So
it'll be interesting, Jimmy, to do the dinner and then go back for counter service because the menu's different.
I will.
And Jimmy brought up a great point as far as when you're using a Disney experience to find dining reservations, don't stop when you can't find it that first time. Keep going back day by day. Even if you're really interested in that restaurant, go day by day, week by week, up until almost that week of your trip. And even the week of your trip for a dining reservation, it doesn't hurt to ask at the restaurant you're looking to get into. They might have the opportunity to get you in there. I've heard many, many stories that's always been the case. And if you're two people, you have a lot better chance than more people. That's just common sense at restaurants. But always, it doesn't hurt to ask.
Especially at the these really popular restaurants, because now they make you reserve them with a credit card. So more people are going to cancel if they can't make it, where before they made you reserve it with a credit card. I think people just didn't care about canceling them, and they just wouldn't show up.
So, Jimmy, my experience last week was I needed a credit card for every dining reservation I made.
Oh, really? Okay.
Not just the popular ones.
Everyone.
So everywhere. And I'm good with that, right? Because if you go back just 5 years, you know there were people that would have a reservation in all four parks, not knowing where they'd be,
sure,
and show up for one, and the other three went unused.
Sure.
And it wasn't fair to somebody trying to get a seat.
I'm assuming the same thing goes. We were talking about the FastPass Plus. You know, Ed was saying, do they run out of fast passes? But I guess if you're trying to get a fast pass for Space Mountain and say it's full and you can't get one for that day, but you check 20 minutes later, there may be one available because someone else may have just canceled theirs to do something else.
Same system. Absolutely.
Okay, Sam. So now, Sam, really, what stuck out after the fast passes, Fast Pass Plus system and the bands, what stuck out as something new or that really kind of made you notice down in the world?
So I always look for those little changes and the little things that are different here and there and the things that you're kind of nostalgic because something's gone that used to be there and it was something you did all the time. So I'll give you a simple example. You guys familiar with the Writer Stop over at Studios?
Great store. It's probably the best store in the Studios.
Absolutely. So there used to be a vintage television set and a bunch of books, and you could sit on the couch and the kids could watch the Mickey Mouse cartoons.
Is that not there?
Yeah, now it's a big, flat, high-definition TV selling DVDs.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, so it's one of those little things where I go, oh, I'm bummed, because I love that.
Yeah, it was so
I just love
nice
to go in there. Now the everything else in there is the same, but that TV's gone, and it's a big,
if you're looking if you're looking for a good Disney book or a DVD, that place is pretty cool.
You will absolutely find it in there. All that stuff's still there. They just changed the way that it looks.
They have books in that place?
You were at the dessert stand?
I was going to say, I seem to remember always going in there for cupcakes or something like that.
Right.
Cupcake cookies, maybe?
It smells so good in there. Have they changed that to a Starbucks yet? Because I'm assuming that's coming.
They have not, but that's the speculation, right? Where's the Starbucks in the studios going
to
be?
I imagine that's going to have to be it, right?
What's that little place?
Have
the little place next to the Brown Derby.
Starlight Cafe? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, because there is another breakfast place over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think about that place.
The Starbucks, so the Starbucks in Epcot is fine, you know, over at what used to be the ice cream place.
By the fountain?
Blanking on the name. Fountain View. It fits right in. It's themed as if it belongs to be part of Epcot. And even the Starbucks over on Main Street, it's okay.
I was going to say, we saw it, you know, we were there last October, and it didn't really bother me in Magic Kingdom. It's okay. It doesn't clash anyway.
And that's one of the least things I'm looking for as far as the parks go is coffee. So, yeah, that was a minor change. If anything, it's nicer because it's a national company that's going to keep the store looking nice.
So some small changes over Test Track that I noticed. So Test Track, if you're familiar with the new Test Track, if you previously did the single rider or the Fast Pass Return, you didn't get the same experience as the standby queue goes through the full configuration of a car. So you get, what, 3.5 minutes to design your car. But if you went Fast Pass, you got to pick what was your most important attribute to you. And if you picked power, there were 8 cars and you picked one and you moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Fast Pass Return line merges in to the full configuration experience. Oh, wow. So I like that a lot.
Yeah, because I mean, especially you're missing part of the experience.
I absolutely agree. Now, I'll also say our previous trips when we rode Test Track, it was pretty easy for everyone in our party to get their own kiosk to design a car. They're really pushing against that now. So if you show up and say, I have a party of four, they're going to put you two and two, so that each two people share a kiosk.
Yeah, okay. They're doing that in the summertime,
too. If it's
too.
Kids, it's cool.
I'm okay.
I want my own.
Yeah,
that's me.
It's going to be based on the crowds. You know, that's always going to be the judge of that. Now, you're storing your car on your bracelet?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you are.
Very cool.
You're tapping your bracelet going in, and it's linked right there, so no more of the little white card that they were handing you previously.
And real quick, just before we get past that, when we were on Test Track, when they first opened up the new version of it, they gave us those white blank cards to store our car on it. And we were kind of psyched about coming back the next time, and that card actually still worked. Where we had the car we designed, I guess, like 4 or 5 months earlier, that was able to still work. Did you notice that between your two trips?
So the interesting part there is between the two trips, I have different magic bands.
Oh, and that actually is going to be another question, too, that I have for you.
But my annual pass is tied to both of those.
So that's keeping track of it.
You would think so, but it didn't work this time. But that could be a lot of reasons why.
Gotcha.
Because I had hoped that my car would be on my band because of my annual pass, but it wasn't.
And you mentioned about how you had two trips recently and you have two bands. Now,
yes.
I saw another post on Facebook about somebody that's been 4 times since they've been using magic bands, and they've gotten 4 different magic bands. Was there any mention of the claim that you'll be able to use the same band for 2 or 3 years?
You can.
You can or can't?
You can. You can, because you go into My Disney Experience, and you just keep that band active, and then the next reservation you make, when you sync it, when you link that reservation to My Disney Experience, it's going to link you up to that band. Now, you can go also and deactivate that band, and they'll issue you a new one. You can order a new one.
So they're sending out potentially a lot of bands that will never be used.
Potentially.
At this point.
Yep.
I think those are kinks that'll get worked out.
Right. Right, I'm sure. Okay, well, as far as being down for 7 or 8 days, one of the things we didn't ask in the beginning, which is kind of important for a trip that long, is where did you stay?
Oh, so in this particular trip, I was over at the Boardwalk in a one-bedroom villa, DVC.
Wow.
So very nice.
I would love to do that.
So the Boardwalk is my home resort. I am DVC, and I absolutely love that location. You cannot get any better than being able to walk over to World Showcase. And even depending on where you're located in the Boardwalk, it's not that far of a walk over to Studios either.
Sure.
Definitely my favorite place. I'll give you an interesting thing there, that the Boardwalk just started, and I only learned because I was playing around with the My Disney Experience app, and I clicked on Boardwalk, having stayed there before. What can you do at Boardwalk? And there was a free tour of the Boardwalk available to anyone. You don't have to be staying there. You don't even have to be a park guest. Just show up in the lobby. I think it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And they take you through the Boardwalk and the history of the Boardwalk and what all that stuff means in the lobby. It was really cool.
That's neat.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, is that, I wonder, at all the resorts or all the deluxe resorts?
So what I learned, the gentleman that started this particular tour had recently moved from Wilderness Lodge. And the only other free tour on property is over at Wilderness Lodge. So it's there and the Boardwalk.
I bet that's a fantastic tour as well, though.
Oh, it'd have to be. I'd love to do it sometime. Because this was just, wow, I didn't know that's what that was. Because, you know, look up, look down, look around. You're going to see something, and it ties in somehow, some way.
Sure. Now, the Boardwalk's related to Cape May. Or is that where the look comes from? Or do they say where the motif comes from?
The motif comes from New Jersey boardwalks from the like 1880s all the way through the 20s and 30s. Mm-hmm. And they point out different architectural details from each of those. The beach club is the Cape May over across the way.
Very cool.
So here's, I'll give you one quick cool fact that I learned on this, and I had no idea. On the boardwalk, there's a small store called Seaside Suites. It's sort of a candy store, right? Sort of where you'd go into to get the taffy and that type of stuff.
Right.
Inside of there, it's really dedicated to the Miss America pageant that used to be in Atlantic City, mm-hmm. right? And in there is an authentic Miss America crown, gown, and a couple of other things.
No kid.
It's not labeled, but they're authentic. It's right behind the door when you walk in. And if you look up, you'll see a picture of all of the Miss Americas when they were crowned and the year that they were. And there's history behind each of those there.
So had you not taken the tour, you would have just...
I would have never known that.
Never know.
It's just, to me, it looks like a prop.
Right.
Right.
That's interesting.
Very cool. That's my old stomping grounds. I grew up on the Jersey Shore, and I worked in Atlantic City, too. Got to get over there just to check it out.
So if you inside, right above the door as you're leaving, the original 8 contestants of the first Miss America pageant.
Wow. So cool.
That's just coming from memory, too. I like that. What else did I notice? The Kodak photo pass signs are starting to disappear. I think most of them were gone, actually.
Oh, those are my favorite signs.
Well, the sign's still there, except now there's a sticker over top of Kodak that says Nikon.
Oh, God, that's terrible. That's so cheesy.
Although
it's cheesy, yes.
I tell you, one of the things we used to always do was take the picture of the sign itself. We always posed with the sign, so now we can take some more pictures with Nikon.
That is classic Disney nerd right there. So now the only other thing, right, so Kodak's pulled out, no longer sponsored. And I look around and see what did Kodak previously sponsor. They sponsored those signs and the photo spots. They sponsored the Imagination Pavilion, mm-hmm. which is why when you get off of the ride, it's completely empty now. And it's a shell of what it used to be. And it kills me to walk through there. It really does if you guys have been there lately.
Oh, yeah. No, I hear you. No.
The only other place where they were was over at Muppet Vision, right? So the sign's been changed. It actually changed a couple of years ago. You say Jim Henson's Muppet Vision in 3D presented by Kodak. If you look now, Kodak's gone from the sign. But so is the words Jim Henson across the top, which is very peculiar.
That is
it
weird.
It just says the Muppet Vision in 3D. Jim Henson's is gone. But the one place where Kodak still remains in the parks is in that Muppet Vision pre-show. And I love that Muppet Vision pre-show.
The pre-show is almost, it's an attraction in its own
Chuck,
right.
Chuck, oh, up, it is. Chuck. That sign that he's pulling when they do that says Kodak on it.
Right.
And I don't know how they get rid of that or if they do, and I hope they don't, but it's one of those things that I go, oof.
Yeah.
I can't see that they would, but they probably could just cut that one bit out of that pre-show.
Yeah, but the Upchuck bit's the best.
Oh, I know. That and Sam the Eagle. Those two things are incredible. And Rizzo.
What foolishness would you like to see?
Yeah, there is a...
So I got one other thing I did want to bring up. So we talked about all the FastPass Plus stuff and what it's changed, and getting into the parks themselves seem to be much faster now. I will get one caution out there. Occasionally, the FastPass Plus return time gets very long. And it's usually because of some glitch, or there's somebody that their things aren't scanning right and they have to pull somebody over and validate that they have FastPass Pluses or they don't know the system. Once they clear that out, it moves very quickly. So don't get discouraged because the FastPass Plus line looks long. Because it occasionally gets jammed up, but then it opens up.
You actually brought up a good thought as far as how are the standby lines doing. Are the new FastPass Plus taking over and the standbys are getting more and more longer because the fast passes are getting past them?
Or, I don't know that they're getting longer.
Or has it improved?
They've still been true to the posted wait time. I did try that out a couple of times. It's just the good old, right, if you're waiting for Buzz Lightyear, which used to be a continually moving line because it's an omni mover, now you get that you're going to stop and stand for a little bit while the fast pass is cut in. And then you're going to start to move a little bit and you're going to stop for a little while. Mm-hmm. So it changes the experience there. But
Well, what's interesting about that is the standby line before probably kind of dictated the fast pass line. Because as the standby line gets longer, more people are going to get fast passes. So an hour later, you get an influx of people coming through fast pass, where right. now people are scheduling it in advance, so it's probably a little more consistent.
True.
It makes sense.
That's true. Yeah, well, so only time is going to tell a lot of these different details.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what I'm most interested in are the things that we haven't seen yet when it comes to FastPass Plus, because I don't think everything's been revealed yet. Some other things that I've seen that's changed. In the queue for Toy Story Mania, there used to be one of the big wheels that you'd put in the viewfinder.
Oh, right. Sure. Peter Pan.
It was Tomorrowland. Peter Pan is still there.
Okay.
There was one that was for Tomorrowland. It was Disneyland.
Okay.
That's gone, and it's been replaced with a large Etch-a-Sketch. That Etch-a-Sketch today draws some things, tells you about the ride, but the possibilities there for that to tie into the Magic Bands and the FastPass experience, whatever that might be. Over at Muppet Vision, there are now some screens installed in that pre-show area that could tie in the Magic Band. At the end of It's a Small World, where everybody said, where all the goodbye signs are, there are now screens hanging there that just say aloha or adios, but they have the potential to be part of the My Magic experience.
So maybe even something like personalized, because they know who's on the attraction at that time.
Exactly.
So like goodbye Sam, goodbye Jimmy.
Right.
You got. Now what I've also heard is they've done something similar over at All-Star Sports, where they changed some of the pictures on the walls to be screens that could show a guest on a sports cover or, you know, champion of the day or something like that. There's tons of possibilities, and I don't think we know everything yet.
Sure.
Are we storing our the photo pass? Is that stored on the bracelets too now?
Great question. This trip I just came back from, I participated in the Memory Maker.
PhotoPass
2.0. So Memory Maker now, it's $149 if you purchase it before your trip. It's $199 if you purchase it during your trip.
Right.
I'll tell you one of the reasons I did it. I went with extended family, so there were 10 of us all together. Disney allows you to link all of those Magic Bands together into one and have one Memory Maker experience. So I was able to take that cost and split it three ways, which makes it very attractive, the $149 divided by three, right?
We did the you could do that with PhotoPass as well, though. We've done that with PhotoPass where everybody grabs a card, and then when you get home, when you're customizing your pictures, you add multiple cards to the account.
And purchase them all. Now, here's what I really liked about it. The ride photos were included.
Yeah, that's cool.
So when you rode Everest or Space Mountain, you still had to get your number. You took your number over to the place where you'd purchase your photo. You tell them Memory Maker. You tap your band, and the picture's yours. It's linked to your account.
So it's still somewhat manual. I was hoping Test Track, I remember, had it where you could scan your photo card at the place where they had the pictures of you being on the ride, that the screens.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And I thought sure as heck that they were going to do that with the bands everywhere, or maybe the potential they still might.
Sure, like they'd have a monitor and you find your picture and you just hold your Magic Band up to the, you know, and it would just automatically link it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So at Test Track specifically, there was now a desk and a person sitting at the desk over there in the right-hand corner. But now let me compare that to the experience I had in November when I was down there. In November, when I came back, I logged into my Disney experience and went into my photo passes. I didn't have Memory Maker for that trip. But it had some of my on-ride photos, and I had never scanned for them.
Oh, so it knew who you were.
That trip, not every time, though, just some of the times. Like, we all rode Rock Coaster, and it got part of my group, but not the other part of my group.
But not this time.
This time, the instructions were, when I purchased my Memory Maker, that I needed to visit the kiosk after the ride with the number, and they would add it to make sure that it got there.
Somebody was on the ride, they got their picture taken, that wasn't supposed to be on the ride, and got their picture taken. Sounds nice. They don't want that automatic going on anymore.
Right.
Yes. I think that part of the testing, right?
Sure. Okay. Well, I tell you what, it sounds like you've had a really fun trip.
How can you not have a fun trip?
Oh, I know.
Tell right, me. Exactly.
And tell the me worst day at Disney World's better than shoveling snow.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think we, me and the kids figured it out the other day. We're about a ton of snow at this point. Like so many pounds per shovel, how many shovel loads to get each driveway cleared out, how many times the driveway's been covered. But anyway, that's enough of that.
Y'all must have been figuring that out on the day you had no internet.
Well, that was the last time I was shoveling and my starter right. died. Sam, we talked about Beer Guest as a great dining experience you had down there this trip. Any other restaurants stand out to you, or not as importantly, but kind of almost something I'd like to hear about, did any restaurants maybe take a dive in your idea and your expectations?
You know, I'll tell you something for sure. I believe that all of the counter service at Magic Kingdom have gotten noticeably better over the last 18 months.
Really?
All of them. Even Pinocchio's Village House now has some great flatbreads in there. Columbia Harbor House has a tuna sandwich that is really good. They've all taken a step up over at Magic Kingdom for sure.
Step up as in what they're offering, or step up quality wise?
I think both.
Okay.
And of course, add to that, right? Better quality, better selection, and more price, right?
Sure.
So right.
That's across the board. A little more expensive too, but I definitely think that Be Our Guest has pushed the others to get better.
That makes sense.
Casey's was closed while I was there. That was interesting.
I had read that. Well, they were closed.
So let me step back real quick. Pinocchio Village House in November. Huge walls all the way around Pinocchio Village House. Right?
It was like that when we were there in the beginning of October.
Those walls are down, and it's all outside seating.
Oh, really?
Lots of it. So figure where the old Dumbos used to be. It's all the way out to there.
Wow.
With a huge bench all the way around.
Wow.
So Casey's right now is closed, and there's a huge wall basically from Casey's all the way out to where the fence is, where you'd almost be where the swan boats used to go. There's a huge area that's closed around Casey's.
Do you think it's seating?
I'm hoping it's seating. I'm hoping it's permanent seating so that you can't move the chairs around, which is what they did at Pinocchio's.
Casey's is terrible.
Casey's ends up being the parade watching area. That's what tends to make that a little too crowded. And fireworks, true.
But the seating, even if you just stop there if you're trying to eat there for lunch, it's terrible trying to get a seat there. And the food is, those big old hot dogs are so sloppy, you can't eat them standing up. So it's one of my, I really enjoy eating there.
Jimmy,
but
cut back on the cheese sauce, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know.
As long as they keep the piano player. Don't shoot the piano player. Keep him there.
Yeah. Oh, yes, absolutely. He wasn't there because it was behind walls, but fingers crossed that he'll be back.
I wouldn't want to see him lose the bleachers and the TV play and the old sports.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't want to see him lose that either. That's cool.
It's funny. The only times I've seen those in the last couple of years, though, has just been trying to get out of the park.
Running through.
Yeah. One of those little known facts about Magic Kingdom is that the stores are all connected. So on Main Street itself, you can go from one side, from the castle almost at Casey's all the way to the entrance of the park.
Sure.
Yeah, on the Casey's side, it's connected.
Oh, true. Which
Starbucks breaks it up.
And it's amazing how much quicker it is to get through to the entrance when there's a lot of crowds and stuff. Okay, well, as we're all foodies here, did anything else stick out restaurant-wise?
My favorite restaurant is still Tutto Italia by far. I think it's the best on property, without a doubt. That's my opinion.
Right.
What else spoke? Yak and Yeti again, always good.
We talked about that on one of our past episodes, and
yeah.
I love Yak and Yeti.
So, you know, there's an upstairs in Yak and Yeti with glass that you can look down and watch the parade. Although I just heard the parade's not going to be there much longer.
Yeah, I heard they're ending the parade. And they haven't even announced anything to replace it.
I think it's Big Blue People.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Lots of construction in Animal Kingdom. Lots of walls. Good. New festival, the Lion King thing's going up. There are lots of walls at Animal Kingdom, which just makes me wonder what's behind there.
Sure.
And upset that Rafiki's Planet Watch isn't behind them.
Well, that's going to be the natural wait. We've gone through this many times in the past couple of years as far as the announcement of the rides, the walls go up, and then the rides just come out. Soon we'll be talking about it like old hat. Monsters Incorporated Laffler. I remember when that was just an idea that they were thinking about bringing to the parks. Now it's almost an old thing. When are they going to change it?
Right.
And when are they going to bring back Nine-Eye?
Oh, right. I know. They should actually have a pavilion for that type of thing. You know what? Take the Wonders of Life pavilion over at Epcot and make that the History of Walt Disney World pavilion. And Nine-Eye will be over there. You'll have one of the ride vehicles from Horizons. And you can just throw a bunch of old Dream stuff Thunder. In there. Sure. Anything like that. People would love to go through there.
Agree with that.
Yep. A lot of people are very nostalgic about a lot of those attractions that you just it's hard to find any information about.
Sure. And it's funny because we were down spring break last year, and it was the event they had to exchange your annual pass in for the card with the chip in it, the RFID chip. And even at that small little change of information, they still had displays that had old, extinct Disney items in that little theater there. So they're always trying to push it.
The restaurant that I can't think of the name.
Okay, this is a game. Which park?
Epcot.
Okay, Future World or World Showcase?
On the bridge. The bridge in between.
Oh, the – yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's the terrace?
The place next to Mexico that's only a restaurant when they have really good events.
Yeah. I took a picture of some payphones there.
And that building has the best restrooms in Epcot, by the way.
That's where
it does. It has two sets of the best restrooms.
I was waiting. I think for somebody to come out, you know, for one of the in our group, somebody to come out of the restroom, and I noticed there was like a bank of like six payphones there, and I'm like, wow.
It's the Odyssey Center.
Yes.
Ah, there you go.
I have a map in front of me. I cheated.
Mm-hmm. You cheated.
That's right. It has to happen.
You're disqualified.
Although I do have video from the late 80s of the show that happened in there. There was a Mickey, Minnie, Donald review in there. It was like an original character breakfast. One of my first experiences at Disney World, 1986.
Wow, that'd be cool to see.
Yeah, that would be cool to see. I went, actually, 86, I think, was the first time I ever went to Walt Disney World.
There you go. Same here.
Still have the I've got a book somewhere with the tickets. I still have the tickets. I used to have just put the little date stamp on them.
Yep.
Nice. Okay, Sam. Well, it sounds like you had a really incredible trip. You got to spend some time with family. You got to see some new things in the parks. We talked a little bit about restaurants. How about a little bit about New Fantasyland? Now, I've heard and read that they've started pulling the walls down at the new Seven Dwarfs Mine, the roller coaster.
That is correct. So while I was there, one night there's walls all around it, and the next morning part of it's exposed, which was wonderful.
Exciting.
Very exciting because the detail, as you can imagine, is phenomenal. The trees that have been planted along there, this looks like the mine and the dwarves are right inside there, and
that's awesome.
Very exciting. So specifically where it's when you cross the bridge into New Fantasyland, and on your left is the Be Our Guest restaurant, on the right hand side that is all opened up now, so you can see the track, you can see the trees. There's a DVC location that opened right there, which is interesting because in concept art that was a Little Mermaid store. But it's not. It's a DVC location. So
priorities.
It's interesting that it's not a store anymore. Yeah, but priorities would be to sell aerial things when you get off a little. Anyway, the detail is incredible. I can't wait to see this thing.
Can you tell where the entrance is?
Not yet. You can sort of tell where the cottages are. So if you think where Winnie the Pooh is. The walls got pulled over really close to Winnie the Pooh again. For a while, they were extended back, and there was a lot of walking room there. Those walls are closer to Winnie the Pooh, and there's some cottages being built right inside there. You can see the tops of them.
Wow.
And actually, that would probably be the better side to have the line, because the Little Mermaid side would be just too narrow.
It gets very narrow there, yeah.
I expect a queue like Little Mermaid, which is really long and windy and goes forever and ever.
Yeah, but
some interactive stuff.
I'm still amazed with that queue. I really, really enjoyed it.
The Little Mermaid?
Yes.
The scavenge hunt that's going on? Yeah.
Right. The little crabs going on. That's just so ingenious. And it takes your attention. It keeps you occupied for that 5 minutes you're at that place. But it's funny.
More importantly, it keeps kids in the line.
Well, right. And we kind of saw it as we went through the line. However, if the line is ever that long so that you would actually be doing those things online, I don't know if we'd be on the line.
Right.
One of the things I always tell the kids about, it's like we always kind of, as we're running through Space Mountain to get to the train, we're passing by the games. And the games look really fun. And we're just never online enough to play the game.
Right.
I agree with you. They do look fun.
Mm-hmm. Someday we'll just get on that line. But again,
how about the Soarin' ones? Have you ever? I never felt that way about the Soarin' ones.
Soarin' ones are terrible.
Are they?
I've never tried them. I've only heard about them, and what Jimmy said kind of fits the description. Sometimes it picks your hand motions up. Sometimes it doesn't, and there's like 20 people sharing or something like that.
I think the issue is you need, like, if you got, say, 20 or 30 people standing in front of one screen, you almost need 20 or 30 people doing all the same thing to make it work properly.
Got it.
So trying to get 20 to 30 people that stand in a line for Soarin' to all do the same movement?
That's not going to happen.
Not going to happen.
And where those games are in Soarin', you're already pissed off. You've waited how long to get to that point.
Right.
So I can't see them having that much fun.
Right.
But don't get me wrong. I think that the things they've done on Winnie the Pooh and the Haunted Mansion, all these interactive cues, I think they're pretty incredible.
Oh, it makes the wait lots and lots less. I mean, seems like less because it gives you just something to spin your mind on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
very much so.
I love the stuff in the Haunted Mansion.
Oh, yeah, that's great. The graveyard?
Yeah, and when you walk into the graveyard.
Sure. If you fast pass plus the Haunted Mansion, you bypass the graveyard. The standby queue now goes through the graveyard the whole time.
Well, that was one of the cool things I thought about the Haunted Mansion queue is that you had the choice to go through there or not. So it's like you can have fun with that, and you can also blow it off the next time.
It looks like they've changed that now.
I'm sure. Well, I mean, I imagine if it's not so busy that, well, maybe not. Because now you're booking the FastPass Plus way ahead of time.
But you would only be booking Haunted Mansion during peak hours in the middle of the day. Otherwise, you'd ride it early or late when there's not that much of a line.
Right, sure, when you normally would.
And then you get an opportunity to go through the graveyard. So,
see, I guess that's the thing. That's the story, is you really can't forget your normal traveling or your normal park touring, because it still kind of sounds like it fits in. The only difference it sounds like is you won't have the flexibility while you're there, perhaps. But even that doesn't make sense, because you have your app on your phone and you can change up the different rides you want to get on. It sounds kind of like a win.
Well, I'll tell you who likes it a lot from this last trip is my oldest. Who would get handed the six tickets and be told
the runner
fast. Hey, run
the runners don't have to
mountain.
Run.
Right.
We're gonna ride Space Mountain, you run the Big Thunder and get us some right?
Right. Oh yeah. My son just became the runner this past year too. And he's the electronics guru too, so he'll be doing it the same on the phone.
It'll be the app will be on his phone, right?
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
The other thing that did just remember, Celebrate the Magic, the castle stage show. They added Frozen, which got huge ovations when they played it. It was great.
Oh, I'm sure.
Really like the castle stage show. I think I love the fact that they can swap that in so quickly.
I think they completely underestimated how popular this movie was going to be.
Well, the soundtrack's number one in the country, right?
I have it. My wife bought it for me for my birthday. It's in the CD player in my truck. It's fantastic.
So likewise, watching the castle stage show with the kids going, wow, Frozen's already where it's amazing. And then we go over to watch Fantasmic and you're suffering through Pocahontas going, oh, this would be so nice if it was Tangled or anything else, right?
Right. That stage show over at the Magic Kingdom, what's the name of it again? The Celebrations?
That is, I'm looking at the time schedule, Celebrate the Magic.
Right. I'm just so amazed. We saw that for the first time last summer, and the way they can project the colors and the video onto the castle is just incredible.
I have some great videos of that'll be available real soon.
Excellent.
And it looks like what they're doing, at least here in February, it is a Celebrate the Magic followed by a Main Street Electrical Parade, then Wishes, then another Celebrate the Magic and a Main Street Electrical Parade. So they're doing two parades, fireworks, and two castle light shows.
Wow.
Every night. And of course, the second is always the least crowded, unless the kids go to sleep. Then it doesn't work out.
And this was for the time you were down there.
This is when I was down there, yeah.
And it wasn't really that crowded.
The second shows were definitely not that crowded. Mm-hmm. The first parade, everyone wants the first parade. And if you position yourself around the hub, which now think back to Fast Pass Plus, one of the things you could get at Magic Kingdom is a Wishes viewing spot or a Main Street Electrical Parade viewing spot, which puts you basically right in the hub. So you're right in front of the castle. You watch the Main Street Electrical Parade go by. Literally 15 minutes later, the castle stage show starts, or the light show on the castle. And as soon as that's over, they make the 5 minutes until Wishes announcement. And then you're watching Wishes.
So is that one Fast Pass to do all three?
I haven't done it, but okay. If I'm standing there, I wouldn't move.
Right.
Sure. And
right.
I mean, I don't think they can clear that area and move in another group of people.
Yeah, no.
Like
that. That'd be funny to watch.
Yeah, all right, everybody go.
As soon as the parade goes by,
right,
so if you're even standing on, we were standing on the Tomorrowland Bridge watching the parade go by. And as soon as the parade went, we moved right into the parade route where nobody was standing and mm-hmm. stood there, watched people come around us, watched the show, watched the fireworks.
Cool.
Yeah, very nice. Very nice. Well, Sam, it sounds like you had a really incredible trip. We're so happy that you had so much fun and you came home safe. Unfortunately, you came home to how many feet of snow?
Yeah.
But what can you do? That just makes it so much better when you go back again. Now, do you have any trips planned in the future, or are you
That's
waiting?
A great question, because the first thing that I always do is start planning that next trip. You know, that last day. As a true Disney nerd, you start to get that feeling in your stomach, which is, I don't want to go back. I want to stay. Can't these flights get delayed? Maybe that storm will come through. They'll tell me ahead of time. But we will definitely be planning another one soon.
Very cool. Very good. Well, thank you very much, Sam, for coming on today and letting us know all about your Walt Disney World trip.
Very, thank you, guys.
Very informative. We love to hear about all this new news. And for everybody listening, if you have a chance, check out samsdisneydiary.com or find him on YouTube also. And you're going to see some pretty incredible videos of Walt Disney World and the things you can do down there.
Thank you so much.
Before we go, we wanted to remind everybody that we still have our show number 20 contest going. So if you have a chance, what we need you to do is listen to show number 19, listen to all the audio cuts we have out there, and send us an email that lists down each of those audio cuts. Let us know where it came from and what park it's in. And if you send it to thedisneynerds@yahoo.com, we're going to enter you into the contest. Now, the contest is going to go until this Sunday coming up, which I believe is the 23rd. So once we get to midnight on the 23rd, we're going to close the contest. We're going to pick a winner. So you have plenty of time to enter, so get on that.
The winner of that contest will receive their own little Mickey Mouse Disney nerd. It's the cutest darn thing you've ever seen.
Very cool. Well, that's it for show number 21 of the Disney Nerds podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.